You know, our focus is on our kind. And that's because nobody else is going to do it. So
there's an unfortunate statement right there, is that nobody else is going to do it, because I really do think that we need 100 men and women of America Inc. working towards this. And the membership has nothing to do with the cost of membership, but everything to do with a focus and a mission and a vision and a direction and an opportunity to make a difference.
Welcome to Peter and Phil's Courageous Conversations, a podcast addressing race relations and social issues in hopes that you'll be inspired to do the same. Now, let's begin our conversation with your hosts, Dr. Peter Weinstein and Dr. Philip Nelson.
So we've got about 40 minutes. I'm going to take a 2-second break, and then I'm going to start with a question. So, Phil, I need an explanation. What are 100 Black Men of America, Inc.? You can't wear a T-shirt like that and not expect me to ask the question.
100 Black Men of America is an organization that was started, I believe, in the 80s. I was a member in a small chapter in Columbus, Mississippi, from 1995 to 2004. I believe the first chapter was started in Washington, D.C., and 100 Black professionals got together. The mantra of the organization is, what they see is what they'll be.
What they see is what they'll be.
Yes. So the primary focus of 100 Black Men is to be mentors for young Black men.
That's outstanding. So why is this the next best secret in the world that I'm, after 18 months talking to you and 60 years on the earth, I have never heard of 100 Black Men of America? And why isn't this the most, one of the real foci of trying to change the world?
I will give you my opinion.
Okay.
First of all, it's about personal mentoring. So the concept is fantastic. And the men that are involved are some of the best men in the world. The original chapter had some very famous people in it. But anyway, there are chapters in across the country in various cities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the original goal was to get 100 Black professionals, 100 accomplished Black men. And the people who started it at first were the people who were acclaimed politicians and accomplished business tycoons and recognized for their success because of their riches or their accomplishments, et cetera. And it was all about mentoring young Black men and showing them what they could be, and being the surrogate father if there was none, or providing opportunities that Black boys don't necessarily get. I enjoyed working with the young men from high school, and we took them on field trips. Like, for instance, we did a southern tour of Black colleges. We drove them to Jackson and went to Jackson State and Tougaloo and showed them the campus, and then drove to Tuskegee and showed them the Tuskegee campus, and then Alabama A&M, and then brought them back. And they'd never been out of Columbus. For the first time, some of these boys stayed in a hotel. And the greatest satisfaction I ever got was, after I left Mississippi State and came here, I went back to Tuskegee for a class reunion. And at a banquet in that conference, a young man put a plate down in front of me, and then he said, "Dr. Nelson?" And I looked up and I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I'm so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm from Columbus." And I said, "Oh yeah, how you doing?" And I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Are you in school here?" He said, "Yeah, because you brought us here on that tour, and I decided to enroll. I'm in an engineering school, and I'm doing this to help pay my tuition." And it was really gratifying to see him to see that work contributed. One day I'm gonna take you to Tuskegee, but there's a statue of Booker T. Washington in the center of the campus. He's pulling a sheet off of the face of a slave to illustrate the importance of education. And the statue is called The Unveiling.
I think the concept of mentoring, as was the mantra or the mission or the purpose of the 100 Black Men of America, no matter who's doing it,
that's
whether
right.
It is the elite or whether it is the next tier or whatever tier levels you are, I think there's still an ongoing need for that for everybody. It doesn't matter the backgrounds. And it could be middle class white, and it could be middle class Black, and it could be lower class white, it could be lower class Black. There is a need to help others see their opportunities. I think
yes.
in many cases we are blinded to all the opportunities that are out there because you only see what's immediately in front of you.
Yeah.
And if mentoring does an unveiling, so to speak, and allows a young person who never thought of becoming a veterinarian to become a veterinarian,
right,
or to become an accountant, or to own a small business. I think the message that the organization had and has, is something that we actually could do a much better job on a global basis than we do. And I can reflect it into veterinary medicine in saying that we have not done a really good job of mentoring pre-graduate or lower to eventually impact the graduate students.
I agree.
Let's talk about the concept of mentoring, because I do think that the impact of mentoring from the different social strata does help encourage others to look outside themselves. I'm not sure that if I went into Jackson, Mississippi, and was trying to mentor young Black kids, that it would have had the same impact as Philip Nelson. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the reason that this group was organized is to help young people of color to see the opportunities that are out there.
That's very clear. However, first of all, the mantra itself says it all, right? What they see is what they'll be.
Right.
Now, if they don't see a Black veterinarian, then they don't know they can be one.
Right.
Right. If they don't see a Black president, then they don't think they can ever be one, right? On the other hand, Obama never saw a Black president. So why the hell did he think he could be one? There are serious voids of incentive and insight in disadvantaged communities, right? And it's easier for some people to be inspired if they see somebody like them in a certain area. But one of the first things that I think is important from a humanistic perspective to establish is that is a tactic simply to inspire,
right?
Simply to promote aspiration. But when it becomes a strategy, then you run the risk of secularizing or segregating that inspiration and dehumanizing the process of goal attainment. And so I'm very sensitive to that. You're right. I might be more accepted, but I may not be any more effective than you because I don't speak the language of a 15-year-old or a 20-year-old. Has nothing to do with my color. It has to do with the fact that they see an old man coming in What's more important, though, is in some tenements of Chicago where they only see homeless dogs and cats, and they've never had one themselves, they don't know about the veterinary profession at all, Black or white. And I've had many mentors in my life, most of them white, that I had to learn, but my father taught me this. I had to learn that everybody can teach me something.
I love that what they see is what they'll be concept. And I don't care what profession it is.
Yeah.
It's first I've heard of it, but that needs to be brought to professional associations, and of course, obviously in the veterinary profession, as a focus of a mentoring group.
Right.
That takes this beyond the upper echelons, but down to the grassroots of the small towns in Mississippi and the big cities in Los Angeles, and puts together the tools and the resources and the experiences to help let people see what they can be. Conceptually, it doesn't have to be created or composed of tuxedo dress individuals. It could be coveralls. It could be scrubs. And I think the importance of mentoring at all levels, and especially taking it down to the elementary school level. And that's why, you know, when I talked to you about Julie and you saw what the work that she's doing in the different communities, mentoring at the elementary school level could have such a big impact on all people and help push the world and push the country into a much more positive direction.
I agree. Those men worked.
Yeah.
You know, those men didn't wear a tuxedo every day.
I was using that as a metaphor. No, I listen, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's not just a country club group. These are individuals who are corporate leaders. These are individuals who are running large businesses.
And they shared they rolled their sleeves and shared their time.
I guess we can call it the Boys and Girls Club at every level. The Boys and Girls Clubs tries to do that. They just organized them. They incorporated the concept, and then they have worked to create a national footprint of a business model from the 100 Black Men of America. It's just, I was in hearing the story from you, I was just amazed to not have heard of it before.
I mean, I don't know. There are Jewish organizations that I've heard of and know nothing about them.
Right.
Me too. And I, to this day, I couldn't even tell you what the names of them were that I've heard about, but you know, and I didn't have anybody I could ask. That is more a result of our segregated experiences.
Okay. I'll buy that.
Right.
I'll buy that.
Because 100 Black men, I don't know if they've done any mentoring of white wayward kids. You know, our focus is on our kind. And that's because nobody else is going to do it. So
there's an unfortunate statement right there, is that nobody else is going to do it, because I really do think that we need 100 men and women of America Inc. working towards this. And the membership has nothing to do with the cost of membership, but everything to do with a focus and a mission and a vision and a direction and an opportunity to make a difference.
Well, you know, I applaud the elite for being willing to contribute.
Right. So sometime in the future, whenever that may be, the what they see is what they'll be, you and I and others need to get into the lower income communities, the more challenged communities with people of color, and reach out and do some more mentoring.
Yeah.
When the opportunity then arrives.
We can't co-opt. We can use that as our guiding principle, but you can't co-opt phrase.
No, I understand that. But conceptually, we need to lead a group of, whether it's students from Western, whether it's veterinarians from SCVMA, whether it's others that aren't even veterinarian into communities and let them understand that to take the blinders off, to not walk around feeling limited, but that you can become whatever you want to be, and that there are resources there to help you out.
I'm all for it.
Thank you for joining us for another Courageous Conversation. Be sure to follow us and check back next week for more.